Your name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus, we worship you and honor you, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, the amazing, mighty, incredible one. And Jesus, you've been given a name that is above every other name. It's been given to you by your Father. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Holy and awesome, mighty, incredible, eternal one. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us a life that is abundant. Thank you, God, for giving us your Spirit to walk life out with us. And we give you all our praise today, God. We give you all the worth that you deserve. There is no other name, there is no other one in whom we can give our praise and thanks. It is you, Jesus. We give you all that glory. Thank you so much, God. And thank you, Jesus, you've made a way that we can have a relationship with your Father. Thank you for being the bridge. Thank you for opening the door, making the way. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, do you love God this morning? Do you love Jesus? Isn't he awesome? Praise the Lord. Oh, I just love singing and praising with you all. So, you know, I don't look like a missionary couple that's supposed to be here this morning, right? I told you all Kevin and Julia Garrett would be here. The missionaries that were in China and in prison for 2 years and now doing work in Myanmar and in Burma. Well, all of the highway closures and the smoke and the fire, they have a family wedding and they didn't want to be stressed out by coming through or not coming through and not getting there. So I allowed them to postpone and we're coming in September. So you're stuck with me this morning. Woo! It's awesome. But look forward to them. I believe it's September 12th. They'll be here now. They have their daughter's wedding the end of this week here. We've been doing Sunday school stories, and there's a lot of encounters with Jesus in the Gospels that we read those stories, and we've gone through a couple of those. But there are some good ones. And you remember the woman that's caught in adultery, according to Jewish law. And they dragged her before Jesus, and you know, they didn't drag the guy, you notice, but they dragged the gal and, you know, put her down. And Jesus had such great compassion on her. And he, you know, basically turned the tide on the accusers, the ones that wanted her stoned to death. And basically, they all had to put their rocks down and leave. And Jesus basically had this incredible compassion, forgave her. And then told her, you know, go and live life. You know, don't sin no more. Like, just go and live the freedom that I'm giving you today. But that amazing compassion of Jesus. Have you experienced that compassion of Jesus in your life? And have I experienced it? Yes. God has been good to us. You know, you think about the guy who had those amazing friends who, you know, the throng of people around Jesus at the house where he was teaching and hanging out. And he gets that incredible friends who all of a sudden, you know, they can't get this guy who's lame and can't walk to Jesus. So what else would you do but, you know, carry him up on the roof? You know, it's the safest thing to do. And tear the roof apart and dig through and then lower him right down strategically right to the feet of Jesus. That's pretty good. I hope that you and I are friends like that, that want to bring people to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And again, Jesus doesn't go, well, you guys, you know, you just screwed up this guy's roof. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, he meets the deliberate need of the person. And he not only heals the guy, but he forgives his sins. And the guy gets up his mat. And you notice at that point, I mean, it says they walked out. So he obviously didn't climb back up through the roof. So obviously the crowd parted and let this guy, and they must have had a few mouths drop open at what had just taken place and happened. You know, there's the women who had seen all the doctors and had that issue of blood that just wouldn't stop, and she was suffering, and you know, day and week and month and year after year she would suffer. And then in the crowd she sees Jesus, and she literally gets down and crawls through the crowd, and she says to herself, if I could only but touch Jesus, I'll be healed. What happened? She gets through there and touches Jesus, and she's healed instantly. And Jesus, and folks, catch this. He knows that healing virtue is gone for him. And even with this crowd of people, they're saying, like, how in the world? We're all touching you. And Jesus knew. And be encouraged by that today, because no matter what's going on in your life or what's happening and your experiences with God, Jesus knows you. He's a personal God. And then he goes from there, and Jairus's, this leader's daughter, has died. And Jesus climbs, goes upstairs to where she's laying dead, and literally grabs her hand and lifts her up and raises her from the dead. I think that's just a little bit of power. Amazing stuff. And then he interrupts that funeral. You know, they're having an amazing funeral and celebrating, and this woman has this son who's died, and they're carrying him out in this procession, and Jesus, as I often say, just totally ruins a good funeral. And he goes over to the casket there, the thing, and he touches it, and the guy gets up. What a way to ruin a funeral. But if it was me, I would be glad. But isn't that amazing? The stories, the encounters of Jesus. We could go on and on about the demon-possessed son who was in the cemetery living and thrashing himself and banging himself all the time. And Jesus comes when the father pleads with him, and this guy who was totally insane and just out of his mind becomes totally, completely sound of mind and sane and in his right mind. That's the compassion, the encounter of Jesus. Jesus changes lives. The 10 lepers come to Jesus, and lepers had to live outside of the cities and villages and towns, and they couldn't be in close contact with you. And there was all these rules and regulations they had to go through, and they come to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't go, wait a minute, the law says I got to be X amount of feet away from you. You know, you guys get over there and talk to me. Jesus encounters them with their leprosy and their disease, and Jesus heals them. Amazing stuff. Let me talk and direct our attention to one particular story that, as if you've been around the church for a long time, you know is one of my favorite. And that's Bartimaeus, the blind guy. You know, doing his thing every day. He had to beg for his food, probably had to be carried to where he was and to set his mat out, same location. You know, and he's here on the near Jericho, on the edge of town, and the disciples and a large crowd are following Jesus as Jesus is leaving Jericho, and this blind beggar is there, Bartimaeus, sitting by the road. And can I just do one of my side notes again for just a moment? How many people do we cross paths with in our city every day that are sitting by the road? The outcasts, the homeless, the drug addicts, the people that are less fortunate right now than us. And they're sitting in our sight. And often we just go by them. I was really incredibly blessed the other day when I had an appointment with one of you for coffee. And I came into the coffee shop, and this person had already talked to a homeless, you know, probably a drug addict, and bought them lunch and was conversing with them, and then, you know, dragged me into the situation. And we encountered this guy, and later on, you know, I gave him a ride downtown. You know, easy to ignore, right? I mean, this person could have walked into the coffee shop, saw them, you know, evaluated the situation, stereotyped them, and then, you know, walked away. How often do we walk away? Last week, my wife talked about the feeding of the 5,000 and that moment when Jesus was given those five little buns and those two fish. and this little kid's lunch. And Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. Told the disciples to take that little bit. But then Jesus, of course, blesses it and it becomes lots. And how often do you and I think that we just don't have what it takes to help somebody out? Well, we don't all the time. We don't. But we have the Spirit of God and we have Jesus. You remember Peter and John going into the temple in Acts, and the blind, the lame guy was begging there for food. And Peter says, look at us. And the guy would have thought that they were going to give him some alms, some money, some stuff to get some food and sustain himself. And Peter looks at him and he says, you know, silver and gold, I don't have. I don't have what you practically need right now, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You and I have the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit, living in us. We do have something to give them. And it's not what we have, it's what the God's Spirit has to give through us. You may not be able to house somebody. You may not have the money to financially give them something to, but you know what? You can give them the love of God and you can do whatever practically the Spirit leads you to do in that moment, in that time. That's just a side note. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus coming by and what all the fuss was about, he had heard the stories. He knew exactly who this was. And he had heard what Jesus had done before. We have to take that here because literally when he hears that it's Jesus, he cries out as loud as we can. Remember, there's a crowd. It would have been very hard for Jesus to hear one person on the ground yelling. And he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the response of the crowd around him were telling him to be quiet. You know, like, just shut up. And all the more when they were trying to dissuade him, Bartimaeus on the ground there is more and more begins to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'd like to suggest something this morning, and I hope that we can catch the life and the blessing of it. I want to suggest to you that what Bartimaeus had in that moment is something that every one of us should have in our faith, in our lives. There is a desperation in him at this moment to have Jesus encounter his life and to heal him. I would suggest to you and I that our faith should have that edge of desperation to it. That we just don't have enough. We want more of Jesus. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, you're my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Again, you hear the desperation of the psalmist. And in Psalm 42:1-2, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Good songs we sang this morning, especially that the word about Jesus and he's everything. He's all we need. You know, these verses in the Psalms aren't verses that are saying that I should seek God for the first time. These verses are about continually seeking after God more and more and more. The Oxford Dictionary, one definition of desperation reads this of a person: having a great need or desire for something, such as a drink of water or relationship with people. Well, that doesn't describe our faith. I don't know what does. You know, there's a desperation that we should have for God, a great need, a great desire for a relationship with a living God who's not just out there afar, but wants to be intimate and personal with each of us. And being desperate for God isn't about acquiring his presence in our lives. You know, we must already believe that God's Spirit is within us. And we are saved and we are filled with the Spirit, that God's Spirit is with us every day of every moment and the Holy Spirit accompanies us everywhere. But catch this key thought, it's about knowing that he already exists in our lives. You see, if we know that God's Spirit is in our life, then we should be desperate to allow Him to move in our lives and to draw us closer to Jesus and to have a relationship with God Almighty. This desperate need for God stems from already having a relationship with Him and yet wanting more. It's that knowledge, that understanding that Jesus is my Lord and the Holy Spirit is His presence dwelling inside of me. And that knowledge, that understanding allows me to realize that I need Him. I need you, God, more and more and more and more. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 10 and 11 says, "Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually." Proverbs 8, 17, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." 1 Chronicles 22, 19, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Psalm 143, 6, "I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land." And then that familiar Selah word in the Hebrew means pause. You know, reflect on what you've just heard. Psalm 73, 25, 26, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Jump into the Gospels again with Jesus in chapter 4 with the woman at the well. Jesus answers her and says, "Everybody who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Is that the water you want? Do you want the water that Jesus provides us by His Spirit that never will let you thirst? That's what happens when we are desperate for God and we just continually build on the relationship that He draws us into. In John 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." So in the midst of this crowd and Bartimaeus obscure on the ground, Jesus stops. Jesus has heard this cry, and Jesus says to them, you know, like, "Hey, like, bring him here." And all of a sudden the tune changes, and all of a sudden everybody seems to know who Jesus is talking about, and all of a sudden they all grab him and say, "Hey, come on, you know, like, the master wants to see you." And literally, the Bible tells us that Bartimaeus gets up as they lead him over, and they basically, he says, "Take courage." And he throws aside his cloak, and he jumps up, and he comes to Jesus. They'd already tried to discourage Bartimaeus. And now he removes clothing that's going to restrict him from walking over to Jesus, being led over to Jesus. There's lots of obstacles for us in not being desperate for Jesus. There's a lot of things that want to keep us from the truth and from pursuing Him and being passionate towards Him. Sometimes it's our disbelief. Sometimes it's fear of man. Sometimes it's just the love of this world and what we're doing. Sometimes, let's be honest, it could be laziness, complacency, apathy. Sometimes it's business and the cares of running a business or just the idea of having to work for a living and provide distracts us. Sometimes it's inner struggles that we go through. Sometimes it's physical ailments, sometimes emotional. Sometimes it's pursuit of money. Sometimes it's just you're tired and you're worn out and you're just life's just become too heavy. There's a lot of obstacles, and it could be relationships, it can be a lot of other things that would want to keep us from pursuing God fully. But when it comes right down to it, the ball's in our court. We all have to make strong, willful decisions to not allow obstacles to keep us from pursuing a God who loves us and is passionate about us and wants to help us succeed in life Not in the practical stuff. Of course he wants us to succeed practically and have our needs met. But he wants us to go way beyond and understand there's greater things in life than just the things around us. Hebrews 12 starts out by saying, you know, let us lay aside every encumbrance. Let's lay aside everything that would be an obstacle or distraction or weigh us down from pursuing God fully. Let's put those things aside. That's an intentional, willful decision that we all make. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. It goes on to say that consider him who endured such hostility against himself when he walked on this earth, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus battled it out for him. We need to be passionate about pursuing God. We need to be desperate in pursuing God. I hope you get my heart today. I'm speaking to myself. You know, we've seen a lot happen over the last year and a third. We've seen stuff happen we never dreamed would happen here. And things are going to get a little bit more tough, a little difficult. Things aren't so certain anymore, foundational. You know, it's not all our jobs, all of our finances, all of our, you know, normality, all of that is up in the air. It can change in a moment. But in the midst of all of that, there is one person who stays the same. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what happens in life, no matter what happens in your life, in your family, God will stay strong, consistent. He will be your foundation. He will be your strength. And that's why we need to be desperate to pursue him. Have this slight desperation in us. And when we get up in the morning, we just need Jesus with us. We put our head on the pillow at night. We need Jesus to give us a good night's sleep and to have peace in the midst of all the storm. Matthew 11, Jesus invites us to come unto him. If you're weary, you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My yoke is a lot easier and lighter than yours. Luke 11 asks us to pursue God. If you ask God, he'll give it to you. If you seek him, you'll find it. If you knock, it's going to be opened. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened. God said, you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Relationship's the key, right? Bartimaeus gets to Jesus. It's all about relationship that God has with us. That's why he encounters us. God actually cares and loves you personally. He cares about everything in your life. And he encounters Bartimaeus in that day, and the first thing Jesus says is, what do you want me to do for you? And Jesus already knew. But he's building relationship and partnership and faith in Bartimaeus. And the blind man says to him, Bartimaeus says, teacher, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus says to him, go, your faith has made you well. The Bible tells us that he immediately regained his sight and he began following Jesus on the road. Isn't that awesome? I love this story because Jesus hears him in the midst of a crowd where he should have never heard him. And Jesus gets to the point. He knows that what he wants is his sight, but he brings that out of him so that Bartimaeus will have faith. And Bartimaeus gets his sight and begins following Jesus. Have you been given your sight by Jesus, your spiritual sight? And if we have, that we would continue to follow Jesus and continue to pursue him. And Jesus would have been going down the road and you could just see Bartimaeus in the back, you know, singing that song, Glorious Day. I was in darkness, but now I'm in light. And he wouldn't have been going like, well, Jesus is good. I've regained my sight. He would have been like, Jesus saved me. He gave me my sight. Did you see what God did for me? I was blind, but now I see. If they never heard him before, they should have heard him now. And if they haven't heard about your faith now, they should. Because Jesus is transforming. He's a God we can encounter because he's a relational God that loves you. And everything that he does, let's turn it back and let's give him all the praise and the glory and the thanks. Let's be like the one of the 10 lepers who turned back and said, Jesus, and fell at his feet and thanked him. You see, that's what being desperate for God is. It's realizing what he's done. It's realizing who he is. And it's pursuing him with all of our passion and all of our energy. We're not always going to be jumping up and down. Life's going to throw some curveballs, right, Deb? But in the midst of it all, we don't stop praising God. We don't stop giving him thanks. We don't stop pursuing him and being desperate for him. Encountering Jesus changes us, and it gives us all the courage to continually follow him no matter what. You hear my heart? God loves you. He wants you to pursue him and know him and be relational with him. He's our God, and he is a friend. Jesus, we thank you today for all these great stories, these life-changing events that took place when you walked on this earth. God in the flesh, wow. And you came and you encountered people to show us there is a better way, there is a kingdom way. And God, when we pursue you and we turn our lives to you, God, there's nothing greater. So God, would you encourage us today? Would you strengthen us? Would you lift us up, God, if we're weary? And would you turn our eyes to you? And Holy Spirit, would you put that edge of desperation in us so that we will not be satisfied with where we're at in our faith, but we will continually want more of Jesus. That's our heart. That's our desire, God. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take, I don't like throwing time limits on stuff, but I just want to take 5 minutes. And what I'd like us to do is I'd like us just to get a little desperation for Jesus. Just close yourself in with him, talk with him, you know, pursue him a little bit this morning. Just 5 minutes. And let's just honor him. And if God wants to say something to you, let him say it. If God wants to tweak something, let him tweak. But just love Jesus for 5 minutes. Let's all do that together. They're just going to instrumentally play. And then I'll cut in and we'll... Spending a few moments with Jesus is always life-giving. It's strengthening. I want to encourage you, don't lose sight of that this week. You know, take a few moments here and there. And just be still. And it's always great to be together and to find the strength on Sunday. But we need it all the week. And Jesus can be found in a moment's notice. Let's take those times of refreshing in your life, and may the peace of God, joy of the Spirit, and the face of God shine upon you and bless you. You're coming in and you're going out. Whatever you put your hand to do, may it be strengthened by God. And may God give you wisdom, knowledge, discernment, insight, and provision throughout this week. In his name I bless you. The name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, love you people. Isn't God great? Amen. Well, don't have to rush off. Please say hi to one another and encourage one another. But God bless you, and may he just bless your life in every possible way. Amen.